Welcome to the first episode of Thoughts from a Car, the stream of consciousness podcast recorded completely from my driver's seat. I decided I wanted to do just every episode of this from my car, because that's when I have the most time to just sit to myself and think. I mean, usually I'll listen to music, I'll listen to podcasts, I'll be listening to something, but usually, even with all of that, I'm still just sitting here thinking. I mean, I'm thinking about driving, obviously, but anyway, it is a very rainy Tuesday, late afternoon, early evening, just heading home from work, and I gotta swing past my parents and pick up the tax returns so that I can mail those in tomorrow and not be slammed with a fine. But I don't know if they actually do that or not, or, you know, what the statute is on late or whatever. But, you know, tomorrow's the 15th, as long as it's, to my understanding, as long as it's postmarked by then, I got nothing to worry about. So, that's what I'm doing right now. Just driving, and again, thinking. Just thinking while driving. I'm thinking I'm definitely going to have to get that digital voice recorder sooner rather than later. I've been listening to what I've recorded from my iPod. Like, you can hear my iPod when the disc spins up and stuff. It, you know, because it's right next to the microphone, it catches that. Oh, it's terrible. So it's all, every once in a while, it's just this. So, don't pay any attention to that. If you hear that, that's just the disc on my iPod spinning up. All right, well, what to talk about on this first episode? I have been so flippin' busy today. I'm an apartment manager, in addition to working quasi full-time 35 hours a week while going to school a little bit, while my wife goes, so that I can support my wife while she goes to school full-time and work some, and yeah, so we can pick up each other's slack. Hopefully sooner rather than later, I will be able to finish my degree in computer science and just work full-time and have a lot more time to devote on developing my website and recording podcasts and whatever else. Mostly writing. I mean, what's the point of having my podcast if I don't have anything to actually talk about? That's what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about, you know, what I'm reading, talk about what I'm writing, mostly. Talk about what games I'm playing, and if I have something to scream about, I'm going to scream it. This is going to be my outlet. This is going to be my rant, whatever you want to call it. This is going to be my rant source. Not source, because this is where it goes. Rant repository. My rant-satory. Rop-satory. I don't know. Something stupid. But, yeah, this is where I'm going to yell and scream about stupid drivers, about road construction, about politics, about closed-minded people. I'm talking about politics again. But everybody who says they hold to one thing and then hold to that and never even listen to the other, they always get mad at people from the other side for not being open-minded when they themselves are closed-minded. What open-minded means is you have to agree with me. It has nothing to do with me seeing things from your point of view. If you are closed-minded, all that means is you don't see things from my point of view. And I can't possibly be closed-minded because I already see things from my point of view. So, you know, there's that. I see that so much and it bothers me. But anyway, I see that for people from my side of the spectrum as well as the other, and it bothers me from both sides. I'm a fairly conservative person politically and whatever, and I hold fairly strongly to conservative ideals. That's the way I was raised, and that's the way that's what I like. It's not that I think that liberal ideals are evil, it's that I just don't necessarily agree with them. I don't think they're a bad way to go. I would just rather they didn't go that way. For instance, oh, here we go. We're just going to hop right into a rant here, aren't we? Anyway, for instance, stem cell research. I think that stem cell research is an awesome, awesome thing. I would rather, I mean, it's not, if people talk about, like, you can't play God. I think that's stupid. That's such a dumb argument. People aren't playing God. I'm a religious person too. Let's throw that out right now. We have, if God didn't want us to have stem cell research, he wouldn't let us have stem cell research. There's a purpose and there's a place and there is a meaning behind it. It will improve the lives of all of us on the planet. How could that possibly be something that God wouldn't want? Medicine, I feel that medicine in its entirety is, again, I'm a religious person. We have it because I feel that God or goddess or great spirit or whatever you want to call it, that the supreme governor of the universe wants our lives to be free from pain as much as possible. You know, granted, there's, we can't always do that. Due to our choices, due to the choices of others, nobody's going to live a life that is completely pain-free. But that doesn't mean that we have to be fraught with pain at every moment of every day. So from that angle, actually from both angles, I believe that the stem cell research is a good, you know, from the liberal side, from the blah, 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 we have to do it because why would we have this technology and this science and this knowledge and not do anything with it? That's irresponsible. I agree with that. And the, on the other side of the, you know, we can do things because the God wants us to, because there is something that wants for us to have the best life that we can have. So, there's that. From the other side, I think that it's, I went to, it was called Body World. I don't know if that's what it's called in other places. It's a huge multinational, worldwide, it's international thing. It's this huge thing where this guy, I can't remember his name anymore. He's like Swedish or German or something in that area. He developed a process of, it's called plasticization, I want to say, where all organic materials from a human body are removed and more or less replaced with plastic. So you can completely preserve a human body like that. And then, you know, taking the cadavers and whatever that have been donated and performed this process on them, turned them into plastic and then displayed them. And it was really, really awesome. I was really, you know, it was so bizarre seeing, you know, just a cross-section of, like, the human throat. You know, I saw inner ear bones, like the hammer and the anvil and stuff. It was like the smallest bones in the human body, like a 16th of an inch wide. Oh my gosh, it was incredible. My wife keeps making fun of me because in my head I kept singing the song by Jonathan Colton about zombies. All we want to do is eat your brains. We're not unreasonable. No one's going to eat your eyes. I just kept singing that to myself. And after a while, it's just like, you know, if all of these plastic bodies did suddenly become plastic zombies, well, first off, we'd all be in a world of hurt because they'd be more resilient to any blunt force trauma to the head. You know, I started looking for an exit. It's like, well, if the zombies start coming from there, I'm going to have to leave that way. If they start coming from exit A, I'm going to have to go through exit B. If they come through exit A and B, I'm going to have to go through the C. You know, I was just kind of planning things out. It's what I do. Usually when I get bored, and after a while I did get bored. There were some things that I did want to see that I didn't see. I would have loved to see a cross-section of a human brain, just like a vertical and from, you know, X, Y, and Z axes. Just, you know, keep showing those cross-sections. I thought that would have been just amazing to see, but it didn't have that. But oh well, it was still fun. What was I saying? Oh, so there's this one room, the fetus room. I couldn't spend a lot of time in there just because, I mean, it was cool, but I'm looking at, like, this is a fetus, but it has hair. It looks like a doll, but and you're like, that looks like a doll. It looks like a plastic mold. But then you realize, no, that was a human being. That was a child. They all had been donated. They were all, like, stillborn or miscarried or whatever. They were all children that had been donated to the guy from the families of the deceased. But there was one point, I have no idea how they got these, but it had little tubes of embryos from like week 2 to week 20, and it was
And they had like three per week. And it was so amazing. You see, by week three, this is a human being. You, there is no mistaking it. There's no like, oh, you know, it's just a collection of stuff. No, it's got a head. It's got fetching fingers. It's a human. This is a person. This, I don't care when you say it, things come, you know, it's like, oh, well, it's not alive until it's born, blah, blah, blah. No, this thing was alive. It may not have been breathing. It may have been, you know, an inch long, inch and a half long, but this thing was alive. This thing was a human being. It's just a different stage. Like a child, I mean, you can't say an adult is a human being, but a child isn't. You look at this and you just see it and you're like, well, okay. For the first couple of, well, maybe it wasn't week three, but for the first few weeks, it's like, well, yeah, that is just a collection of, random collection of cells. It looks like, it just looked like somebody sneezed into a test tube. It just, you know, looked really weird. But then just like, it was just like this bizarre, flaky, fluidy type thing. And then all of a sudden, bam, it's human. It was incredible to see, but then I had to leave that. But anyway, so what are we talking about? Stem cells. So yeah, it is so difficult to disassociate what I saw in those tubes and at so early with this, you know, it's just for scientific, you know, it's only for scientific. I disagree with, I'm not even sure what the issues are. This is just me personally. And like, if somebody were to say like, well, how would you feel about this? This is how I feel about it. I don't know if this is what people are planning. This is just where I am. If ever there was a motion to, farm these, farm cells for it, I am against that. I don't think, I'm not going to say playing God, because like I said, I think that's a really, really stupid phrase. I just can't disassociate what I saw in those tubes from what people are telling me. Oh, no, it's just for science. Oh, no, nothing. It's never really alive. Oh, this, that, and the other. Like, no, I mean, unless you're going to take it in the first, like, couple of days, then, yeah, but, the other, so, that's just where I am on that. I'm divided within myself, but, the other thing that people say is the fertilized zygotes that are used for in vitro fertilization, like the damn Octomom. Oh, that doctor needs to have his license stripped from him. It's ridiculous. She didn't even need to have one more child, let alone eight. She's on welfare, for crap's sake. But anyway, so, you know, for a lot of those times, you know, they will fertilize several eggs and only implant a couple and then throw the rest away. But they're already fertilized. Why just... I mean, those are already getting thrown away. Those are already getting destroyed. Why not just donate those to for the science, for the betterment of mankind? I would just say the same thing. If I was having a child and the child... You know, my wife miscarried within the first couple of weeks. I don't know if you could still use those for stem cells. And this is just me. I mean, it's totally different from... My mind would be totally different if I was the person that was carrying that life inside of myself. You know, I couldn't say what it would be, but, you know, I would feel terrible. But, you know, if I could somehow use that to improve the lives of the people around me, I personally wouldn't have any issues with that. Abortion is completely different. Once that egg is fertilized, that's it. You will carry that child to term. I mean, there is no... This isn't like choice, like, oh, it's choice versus... No. The matter is not choice. The matter is responsibility. It is not freedom of choice. The people who are so adamant for abortion are people who want to be free from responsibility, free from consequences of their actions. Makes me so mad, because there are so many other options. If you can't raise a child, that's fine. You don't have to. There are hundreds of thousands of families who would be more than willing to raise your child for you. If you don't feel, hey, you know, that's not... Sometimes people just make mistakes. It happens. You know, like, oh, a lapse of judgment, now I'm faced with this thing. You know, take 9 months to think about it, to realize what you have done, how important that decision was, and then at the end of the 9 months, you make a decision. Well, hopefully before then, you'll make a decision. But at the end of the 9 months, you'll know what you're going to do, whether you're going to make sacrifices for the rest of your life for this child that you have created, whether or not you wanted it at the time. Now you have created this child. So you've got to, you know, you have this decision made whether or not you really are going to sacrifice for the rest of your life for this creation, or if you're going to give it to somebody else for them to sacrifice for the rest of their life. Either one is a good decision. I think, unless you're, you know, thinking you can do it on your own and you end up just destroying both your life and the child, you know, there is nothing wrong with putting a child up for adoption. That is so honorable to be able to do that, to be able to say, you know, I don't feel like that's just trying to avoid responsibility either, because you faced that responsibility for 9 months. You took care of yourself in the way that you needed to raise that, or to bring that child to term. And if you are still not in a position where you can raise the child, that's not anybody else's business but yours. You know, if you don't feel like you can raise the child, then do that child, do that little boy, that little girl a favor, and let somebody else take responsibility for it. Let somebody else raise it. I've seen this in my own personal life, not just seeing it, you know, on TVs and movies and stuff, but I know how wonderful that is to be able to give that away, to be able to make that sacrifice. That is a tremendous sacrifice, especially if you decide to take to bring the child to term. The sacrifice of giving that child to someone else is unlike anything that I could ever possibly imagine, and hopefully it's more than anything I will ever have to go through. But, you know, or you could kill it. You know, either way. I just arrived at my parents', so I'm going to pause this and pick it up in a minute. But since my iPod doesn't go to sleep when it's paused with the microphone in, I'm going to have to make it quick. So I will be back shortly. My dad hasn't come home from work yet, so I'm going to have to swing past his office on my way home. But that's alright. It's pretty much on my way home, so no biggie. I believe I just closed out my rant on abortion and stem cells, which are related, and my phone's ringing. And it's my wife. Hello? Hey.
Okay. Hi.
Oh, I just closed out my rant on one thing and another. Politics in general, I'm fairly moderate. I definitely steer towards the more conservative side. I mean, there are few people that are more, I mean, not few, there are lots of people that are more conservative than me, but they're the radical rights, conservative right, liberal left, yeah, they're the radical conservative rights. I'm very much not radical, I'm very moderate, maybe 75%, or, you know, 50% right of straight middle, I don't know. So, yeah, I'm 75% to the right. You know, maybe, I don't know, I mean, I'd have to, like, take some sort of test and answer a whole bunch of questions and stuff. But, yeah, those are going to be the sorts of things I rant about. And, you know, as you could hear, I'm fairly conservative. And I also think that the government should be conservative, not in a conservative right fashion, but conservative just like the basic form of the word, conservative. You know what? The government should step in when they're necessary, and the rest of the time just kind of, you know, watch. Don't stick their fingers in every single possible moment. Just like, you know what? Let us control. It's a democracy. Let us make some decisions. Let us make some mistakes. And step in when necessary, but the rest of the time, just kind of, you know what, we're just gonna let some of this slide. We're just gonna let it go and just see how it happens, see how it incubates. But meh, I guess it can't always work. I just wish that it did, because, you know, when the government doesn't step in, then people make stupid decisions. People start acting in their own self-interest to an extreme fashion. I think everybody should act in their own self-interest to a degree. I mean, if you're always
looking out for other people and never looking out for number one, you can't provide for your family, you can't do this, you know, and it just doesn't work that way. But I think when people are given too open control, when aren't given enough restrictions and oversight, then they make very, very bad decisions. So, you know, I would rather the government be more conservative than liberal in that sense. As far as right versus left, you know, I have my own opinions, but I think that either way, as long as people, as long as the decision makers are keeping an open mind and are acting in the best interest of the country, regardless of whether or not they make decisions I agree with, I think that it will be in the best interest of the country, and I think the country's going to be fine. So that's where I'm at on the political spectrum. What else to talk about? Music. I have some friends that just released an album. It's called, the album's called Sunden. The name of the band is The Waters Deep Here, except there's no apostrophe in it, so it's like the waters deep here. This is where the water's deep. Like deep is a verb. The waters, multiple waters, like all of the waters. This is where they come to deep. Oh, the water's deep here then, huh? Yes. Oh. I laugh every time I think about it. I don't know if it was intentional or not, but I still laugh. I don't think it was intentional. I just don't think, you know, it just wasn't thought about, wasn't considered. That's fine. I'd still laugh. Other awesome things are, so anyway, so the music. Their music is, oh my goodness. Their music is very, I mean, of course it's very instrumental. There's no vocalist. There's no singer. They have some, vocals, kind of. They have a friend of ours, she's Bulgarian, she's saying, I think it was I'll Be Right Here. Originally when they performed this song, the dude, the guitarist had, like a ringtone that was E.T. saying, I'll be right here. And, so he would hold that up to his guitar, so the pickups would get the sound, and then would get, like, you know, distorted, through whatever effects, the guy had on his pedals. But, it was very, very kind of creepy. But, you know, when they released it, they didn't want to get sued by, you know, Fox or Paramount or whoever the hell holds the rights to E.T. And so they just switched it. And so it's a friend of ours who's Bulgarian. And she's saying, I think what she's saying is, I'll be right here in Bulgarian. The dude told me what it was once, and I think that's what he said it was. But it's really cool. I'll have to get permission from them to throw that in into one of these episodes at some point. So they're very, very instrumental, very, I don't want to say atmospheric, because that just has kind of this new agey, lilt, kind of sound to it, in my mind anyway. So they're not atmospheric, they're just very, unless it's a dark atmosphere, unless it's an atmosphere of death and destruction coming from six different directions. Okay, yeah, atmosphere, that's what it is. But, so they're melodic, very instrumental, of course, very hard, very dark, but I don't feel, you know, like I feel when I listen to Kitty or Otep. Like, this music hurts my soul. It just feels very, dystopian. I don't even want to say dystopian, because that kind of, you know, it means that it's supposed to be good, but it's not when you start digging underneath the surface. So it's very difficult to describe. So like I said, that's why I'll just have to get permission from them to put one or two of their songs on one of these. Trouble is, some of their songs, like two of their songs are 20 minutes long, and one is 10, and then the others are just a couple of minutes. But those ones are the good ones. Those are the ones that are really loud, really heavy, really hard hitting, and awesome. So I'll have to work that out. I also want to get some theme music for this podcast, and just play it like on my stereo when I'm recording. That would be awesome. But, you know, seriously, what I want to do, I want to get music for the podcast, not necessarily theme music. I just want to have, you know, have some music playing in the middle to break it up. And then, you know, pretend like I'm driving to it, I guess. I don't know. I want, eventually, what I want to do with this whole thing is I want to get one of those flip cameras
and record this as a video podcast. And then during those musical moments, kind of do some fun editing and stuff, and have a like a driving, have it be like background music for driving, you know, like kind of like a driving music video, I guess. I don't know, something stupid, but it's funny in my head. But so one of the reasons why I want to get music in here is because, and not just talking about music, but listening to it too, is because this is Thoughts from a Car. That's what drives a lot of my thought processes while I drive, is the music that I listen to. Like, I've got a whole bunch of scenes formed out in my head based on songs that I've listened to. And mostly, I listen to music two times, when I'm driving and when I'm going to sleep. You know, sometimes when I'm doing homework and stuff, but I'm thinking about other stuff while I'm doing homework. I'm thinking about calculus and programming and whatever. I'm thinking about code, deep in the code. But, so I want to get music into the podcast, because I have it while I drive. It's a very integral part of me driving, is the music I listen to. And it's a very integral part of the thoughts that I have, of the streams of consciousness that I swim through, is because of the music that I have playing. So yeah, there's that. Right now, so I've already ranted. I haven't talked about any writing. I talked about music. I haven't talked about writing. I haven't talked about I haven't talked about writing. I haven't talked about gaming. I haven't talked about reading. I'm not reading a lot. Just way too busy. What have I read most recently? I read a series by Stackpole. I like Stackpole. I think he can. Dude can write. Dude can write his way out of a paper bag. He definitely has skill. There were some. I can't remember what the. Can't remember what the title of the series was. It was a four book series. Well, I guess like a prequel and then a trilogy. Hobbit-esque, but it was the Dragon Crown cycle, something like that. I felt that the characters were believable. I seldom had these moments where I was like, oh, come on, that's not real. Nobody would say that. Nobody would do that. Nobody would react, respond like that. I very, very seldom had those moments. I have those moments in a lot of books. Moments in a lot of books. I have those moments all the time when I'm reading Wheel of Time. Time. I've got to finish that series just because, well, as soon as Sanderson finishes the last book, because I started it, I enjoyed it, I loved it. It was one of the great fantasy epics of my time. You know, Tolkien was not my time. Tolkien was before my time. But Wheel of Time is one of the great fantasy epics of my time. And I like that. I like that I can have a great fantasy epic of my time. So yeah, I gotta finish reading that just because I've put so much time into it already. I've already invested myself. It would really be worthless if I read, you know, 10 of the 12 books and then just say, eh, I had a good run. Here's my dad's office. I'm gonna crash into somebody. So that's what I want to do with as soon as Sanderson finishes that last book. I want to pick it up again and read it through in its entirety. And when I'm doing that, I'll be able to talk to people a little bit more about it. But in the meantime, Dragon Crown Cycle, it's four books. Yeah, it's decent. I didn't have any problems with it. $1 back from the government this year. So much better than last year. I think we got, there was that stupid stimulus that did nothing. I mean, we used it to pay off some credit cards. Yay. But this one that's coming is considerably larger. We're going to put like half of it towards a cruise for next summer that we're going to go on with some of our friends. That's going to be fan-freaking-tastic. Fantastical. Yeah, we're gonna hit like the Caribbean and stuff, and it's gonna be great. But anyway, yeah, we would have been getting a much larger return, but I didn't so much pay my taxes this year. We would have been getting like
3 grand, 4 grand. The first half of last year, I worked as an independent contractor, and then I was hired on as a regular employee by the company that I worked for. So those first 6 months, I was just getting paid straight up. Like, I wasn't getting, wasn't any taxes being taken out. We got hired on, and they paid the FICA portion, or the employer portion of the taxes, and I was supposed to still pay the rest of the taxes. I knew this, and I kept like, well, you know, I'm going to have to save up about, you know, $1,000 or so. Shouldn't be too hard. You know, I'll just do a couple hundred dollars a month, and I'll be fine. Trouble is, we kept just running into, problems, like needing to put a new windshield in the car. The car needs a new this, new that. We've got to spend $300 on medication this month, and it's just one thing after another. The nice thing was, I had money saved up. I had some money saved up, and was able to use that to pay for a lot of the. A lot of the expenses that we had. Otherwise, if I didn't have that money saved up, I would have been shit out of luck. But I had to keep turning to my parents for money. I mean, I still had to turn to my parents for a little bit for one of the things. But for the most part, I was able to take care of everything myself. That felt so good to be able to do that. This year, you know, We're working, we're saving up. We don't have to worry about saving up specifically for taxes. Now we're just saving up for this cruise. But, you know, we're going to have a lot of money saved. And so whenever we hit those snags, we both will have a fund to turn to that is ourselves, that isn't based on other people and what other people can give us, what help other people can give us. When we first got married, well, before we got married, when we were getting ready to get married, I had just gotten fired from my job like a week before we got married, and we wanted to have a real kick-ass honeymoon, because the chances of us being able to do something amazing like what we were planning within the next few years was very, very small. I mean, granted, we are going to go on a cruise next year, but it would have been a long time. We wouldn't have been able to do anything like this before we are now. So if we didn't go on this, you know, amazing honeymoon that we did go on, we ended up going to, well, if you read my blog, we ended up going to Mexico, and spent four or five days there, and it was so much fun, but we couldn't afford the plane tickets. We got the hotel as part of a, my parents are part of a vacation club, and they gave us their week for that year, and it was super good, but we couldn't quite afford the plane tickets. And so we talked to my fiance's dad, and he was able to pay for the tickets for us. Like, it was really strange. Like, we were gonna get the tickets, but it was they were really, really cheap, but they were gonna get expensive if we didn't buy them with like the next couple of days. And my paycheck was having like problems coming through. They were only allowing a few hundred of it through at a time, and so we didn't have enough. Like, I was supposed to have like a grand in my checking account, but I only had a couple of hundred because my paycheck hadn't completely processed yet. And so we're like, oh, and you know, it was Friday, we had to have it paid by the weekend. Oh my gosh, this guy's not gonna let me in. Yeah, I'm signaling, ass. Don't honk your fetching horn at me. Go. There's a car in front of me, it's not moving, I have to get out of this lane, my signal is on. Oh, but it's more important for you to keep going to tailgate the car in front of me in a rainstorm. Anyway, douchebags. So we had to talk to my future father-in-law to help us out with the cash of the plane tickets, and he was fine. You know, he helped us out. He says, like, you know, here you go, you know, pay me back in whatever time, and then something else. You know, I hated that job I had. I worked for a a payday advance company, and those guys were such bastards. They lied to me. They manipulated. This is all on my blog, but they manipulated me. They put me in a position where they could fire me. They knew. I mean, I was on the internet, like, well, not all day, but I had, like, you know, Gmail open. So I was planning a wedding in a month. My wife needed to be able to contact me. They didn't want me to be on the phone because, of course, I'm supposed to be helping customers. I'm supposed to be on the phone myself, calling past due accounts and blah, blah, blah. So how does this not make sense for me to have this thing open that, you know what, I don't have to answer it right now. I don't have to hop on it. I don't have to divert my attention. I can still be talking to somebody. I can still be talking to a customer or talking on the phone while having this thing open that I don't even necessarily have to be typing in at the time, and probably not, but, you know, whatever. But they fired me because of it. And I was supposed to be, like, a manager. They were supposed to make me a manager. I was supposed to get a big-ass raise and, like, benefits and all this stuff. And so I get my paycheck. When, this is earlier, when I was, you know, still early working for them. So I get my paycheck 1 week, and I'm looking at it. I'm like, huh. Well, there's supposed to be about an extra $400 in this. What's going on? So I call my, I call the district manager. And he says, oh, well, the owner and I were talking, and we decided that you're not quite ready to have a manager position yet. Why the f*** didn't you tell me this last week? Well, last week when I talked to him, they said, oh, yeah, you're a manager now. Expect that raise. So mad. And they're like, oh, we didn't want to tell you last week. We wouldn't want to tell you Friday or Monday or Tuesday or whatever day it was. We didn't want to tell you then because, you know, we were afraid that you would leave. Well, thanks for the trust, ass! Why am I not going to leave now, bitch? Fat bastard! There's a woman called me one time, and she was calling him the Pillsbury Doughboy as he was sitting across from me. I'm sure he heard. Oh, man, that was so sweet. I wish I... Yep, it's like, is the Pillsbury Doughboy here? I'm like, oh, I'm with the district manager now. She's like, ah. I'm sure he heard. I should have just said, yeah. Yeah, Ryan's here. God, bastard. But anyway, so that was actually when it was he was telling me. So I call him. I'm like, hey, why is my... I was like, wasn't I supposed to be getting the raise? I mean, when I talked to you guys last week, you said that I had qualified for the manager position, that I was going to be getting that raise. And he said, oh, I'm going to have to come talk to you. Okay. Oh, right. You have to come talk to me, because there's something wrong, obviously, because I'm supposed to be getting paid a load more money. Nope, he has to come talk to me because I'm being demoted. Not only am I getting the manager position, I'm getting kicked out of the store that I'm working for, and I'm being transferred to a different store, and I'm gonna have the store that I was working for was just a straight 10 to 6 shift. I was the only one there, and it was, you know, perfect. It was great for me. It was about half an hour away from where I live, so I just drove up and chilled there for a while, and then I left, and it was great for me. But then, so they told me I was going to get moved to a different store, to the downtown store, and I'm like, well, I know that the hours there are a little bit different. You know, they're 8 to 7, so, you know, there's 3 to 4 people that work there, and everybody has a different shift. Am I going to be able to keep the same hours? Because, you know, and they also work Saturdays. The store that I was working at wasn't open on Saturdays, but the one I was being transferred to did have Saturdays on. So I'm like, well, am I going to be able to keep the same hours? Because I can't work on the weekends. I'm supposed to, you know, I'm getting married in a month. I need to be able to have weekends free to do stuff. They said, oh, yeah, that's fine. You'll keep the same, you know, we'll put you on like a month probation thing. And then at the end of the month, we feel that you're ready to keep the manager, to take a manager position, we'll bump you back up here, and you know, everything will be just the way it was that we said it was going to be. So they have me as assistant manager at this other store. I'm like, all right, fine. Well, I got to have Saturdays open. Yeah, that's fine. We'll keep you on the same, and then we'll bump you back up if we feel you're ready. Okay, great. I was already on a month's probation. That's what I was doing up there for a month by myself. And they kept saying, like, oh, we're going to get you an assistant manager. We're going to get you an assistant manager. We're going to get you an assistant manager so that you can get all your stuff done. Like, yeah, because right now with just me, I can't get everything done. Then a month later, oh, we're not going to have you as a manager anymore because you didn't get everything done. Well, no s***, fat bastard. I didn't have an assistant f***ing manager. I'm still bitter. But, So they bumped me down on, and for 2 weeks I'm just working the same hours, and then she's like, all right, well, Cameron, you're coming in tomorrow, or you, next week, you're going to be on the 8 hours a day, on the 8 to 4 shift. I'm like, Ryan, I think his name is Ryan, I don't know, Ryan or Kevin or something like that. Like, Ryan told me that I was going to be keeping the same hours, the same 10 to 6. He's like, well, no, we need you to come in at 8. I was told I wouldn't be doing that. Well, I mean, that's when we need you. Okay, I'll come in then. That's fine. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a change. So, and then they did every 2 weeks, people, you know, just rotated through, so you're always working a different schedule. So then 2 weeks later, she puts me on a different schedule, just like normal. Like, all right, fine. I guess, you know, what he told me was a big fat lie, just like his big fat face and that other fat lie they told me when I was going to be a manager. And he says, or she says, okay, so we need you to come in. You know, let's say it was the 11 to 7 shift. I'm like, so next week you're going to be on the 11 to 7 shift. I'm like, okay. And we need you to come in Saturday. And she, like, looks at me before she said it. It's like she knew I wasn't going to be able to come in. It's like, well, we need you to come in on Saturday. And she hesitated before she asked, like, because she knew I wasn't going to be able to make it. So, well, I'm going to need you to come in on Saturday. I look at her for a second and I say, I can't. She's like, but we need you to. I can't. I'm getting married in 2 weeks. Can't come in on Saturday. I need my weekends. After I get married, I can come in on every Saturday for 2 months. I can't come in on Saturday for the next 2 weeks. I'm getting married. This is logic. She's like, it's like, but we really need you to come in on Saturday. No. And I just flat out said that. No, I can't. I'm not going to come in. Okay. Monday, I got fired. It was the biggest pile of shit that ever has been. They push me, they pull me, they twist me, they wring me, try to get every drop of blood they can get out of me before they drop me. And when he called, and so I come in and sit down Monday morning, and Kevin or Ryan or whatever his fat ass name is walks in and he says, Cameron, I need to talk to you. I'm like, he's going to fire me. This fat bastard is going to fire me, and I'm going to punch him in the throat. I am going to break his f***ing windpipe because I'm so pissed off at him, I could kill his ass. So he calls me in and he says, and it's not like, you know what, this isn't working out. It's just been too much. We've had too many. It wasn't anything like this. We're firing you. Just this point blank, you son of a bitch, we hate you here, and you're gone. I'm like, I'm so close to killing him. But I was actually kind of proud of myself. I didn't explode. I have anger issues. I was really, 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 really pissed off, and I was feeling it right then. I was fuming. I could feel the temperature rising. And so he says, we have to fire you. No, he says, we're firing you. That's what it was. We are firing you. Not like, we regret to win, blah, blah, blah. It's just, we're firing you. You're fired. And he says, you have been spending too much time online. You haven't been keeping schedules. Just all of this shit. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that this is the purpose. I mean, it was so many other reasons. Like, you could have fired me. Like, even just like, you know what, you're just not working out. But like, they pull this ass game. It's complete bullshittery. And they pull that out on me, like, we're firing you because you're online and you're not keeping you're not following the schedules you need to keep and so much stuff, and I'm glaring at him more and more and more while he's talking. He talks for a couple of minutes and he's like, do you have anything to say? I said, no. And I turned around and walked out.
there's so many things I could have said, like, you know what, this is not the way that you, this is not the way that you run a business, this is not the way you retain employees, by lying to them, by dangling things in front of them and snatching them away. And it, while I was an assistant manager, I was supposed to be getting a bonus that month too, because our numbers were high or something, and they decided not to give it to me because I had to, because the manager of the store had to talk to me about internet usage or whatever. So they'd lied to me, they dangled things in front of me, and then they kept taking them away one by one until the only thing I had left was the job. That was the only thing I had left there. That was the only thing keeping me there, was just a paycheck. And that was the last thing they could take away from me, and they did. And it was the best day of my life. I had been coming home at nights sick to my stomach because of what I was doing. I mean, like, imagine, I was like a Jew working for a pork butcher, I guess. I don't know. Or an Indian working for a butcher. You know, I was somewhere where, like, this is not me. They kept talking about how we had to retain customers, not retain customers, but get customers. You give a loan to every single person who walks in through the door, regardless of how many, you know, how negative their bank account is, how many overdraft charges they have, this, that, and the other. Like, you know what? This person is a risk, is a high risk. I'm not going to give them a check loan. I'm not going to give them a title loan. And I would get in trouble for not giving that loan out. Like, look, I am trying to keep this company making money. Not make money like right now, but keep it from losing money with giving loans to this meth addict. I don't want to do that. But they made me. And I just, and then other people that were like, that, you know, really desperately needed the money, but I knew that if they took the loan from us, that they would not be able to pay it back. That they would be, you know, digging themselves into a hole that would be hell to get themselves out of. And I wouldn't give them a loan. And I got in trouble for it. Because I was trying to, you know, I would try to do what I could. There wasn't a lot I could do, but I'd, you know, do what I could to try to help the people out. And I'd get in trouble for not giving people a loan and not bleeding them for every drop. Which, you know, now that I realize that's how they conducted the business. And now it occurs to me, that's how they treated their employees too. They wrung them for every drop of effort they could, every drop of blood. And then when there wasn't anything else to give, they drop them. Like, well, you're no longer here. You can no longer provide services for us. So he says, so that's what I could have said. There were so many things I could have said. I could have called him fat. I could have called him a bastard. I could have insulted the heritage of all the people in a very racist way. Well, insulted the heritage of all the people who worked at these. They were all Latina. It was crazy. They were all between the ages of 20 and 28 and of Hispanic descent, female. Not only was I was one of two white people that worked for the company, and the only guy working in the store. Like, there were a couple of the managers and stuff, and or the district managers and stuff higher up, but I was the only one, the only guy working at that little, you know, at that grunt level. And so I'd come home sick every day because of the things that they were making me do, because the things I was, like, physically sick, like I was throwing up and I was always as tired and stressed and always sore, even though I wasn't doing anything physical, I was always sore. And he calls and he tells me that they're firing me and asks me if there's anything I want to say. No, I just want to get out of there as quickly as I possibly can. So, do you have anything you want to say? Nope. I turned around and walked out, grabbed my phone, grabbed my iPod from my desk, and I left. I had nothing else there. I had nothing keeping me there. Like, I'm gone. And, like I said, it was the best day of my life. I walked out, and it felt like I had a backpack that was full of bricks that somebody just walked by and said, "Here, let me carry that for you." And I'm like, oh. I didn't even realize I had a backpack on! And all of a sudden, everything is light, and everything is good, and everything is right with the world. A week later, or later that week, rather, I got married and spent a week in Mexico. And then I came home, and I had a job. It wasn't a great job. I was working in a warehouse. I was there for 4 days, and then I got an interview with where I am now. I got an interview, and I was hired, working as a software tester for a software company. And it's been the greatest couple of years of my life. Ah, good times. Good rant. It's very therapeutic. You know, I talked about a lot of stuff. I talked about politics. I talked about stem cell research and abortion. I talked about books a little bit. And I talked about
where I used to work.
Good rants.
Next episode, I'll probably talk about about what I'm writing. There is a lot of what I'm writing right now. I got a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of stuff to go through with you guys. So look forward to that. I hope you've enjoyed listening to this episode of Thoughts from a Car, and stay safe. Keep your eyes on the road, and keep your hands at 10 and 2.